Welcome back. This is Food News and Choose Radio, brought to you by Seaworth Superstore, your commercial culinary connection. And for the next hour or so, we're going to talk some food with Chef Jeremy Ashby of Azure and Sylvia Lovely and myself, Twitch. Thank you for joining us. Food News and Choose on Facebook and Twitter and foodnewsandchews.com. How was everybody's weeks?
Spectacular. You know, horse sales are in.
Man,
I mean, the Bluegrass is firing up.
Yeah.
I mean, I could tell, like, you know, we have this whole thing called the Breeders' Cup. I'd never heard of it before, you know.
Of course. Didn't matter because it wasn't here.
Yeah, I thought it was just like a cup full of. Nate, that would have.
Yeah, don't ask. Don't ask what's in the cup.
Don't go there.
Don't ask what's in the Breeders' Cup.
Maybe we could hold that next year.
Hey, that leads us to our guest. It's going to be Sweaty Balls.
Now, that she is Heather McKeever Haffey, and she's from Ferry House Hall, which is just up Tate's Creek. And she's part of the slow food movement, and she brought a pot of meatballs in, and she's waiting in our green room, which is about a foot and a half from here. And we're eating her meatballs.
And they are so good.
They're delicious, and we're going to talk to her about what slow food is, because that's a pretty big movement, the farm to table slow food movement. In fact, you had a story about
that. There's a cool story that really leads very nicely into what Heather's going to talk about. And it was in the New York Times yesterday in their Wednesday
I'm so glad that you can read, Sylvia, because I mean, I get all my information from her.
If it's on Twitter,
they just say, like, get behind
it.
That stove and cook. I'm like,
I'm old, Jeremy. I'm wedded to a newspaper. Anyway, here you go. As we're going to be talking about slow food, a lot of people don't cook anymore.
Right.
Jeremy and I love that because we own restaurants.
Right.
On the other hand, do need to eat home sometime.
Right.
And about like around Wednesday, people get tired of cooking because it gets very task-oriented, and who wants to do that
it's
when they're cooking?
It's kind of like dieting, isn't it?
Yeah,
like
you don't
just
want
lose
to
your
do
motivation.
It.
Because so, you feel like you're doing it out of duty,
yeah.
not... like
you're
the
not
people,
enjoying
people
it.
People say, hey, make a big pot of something on Sunday and eat it all week. Well, that's
yeah,
great
right?
until Tuesday.
And then you get
when
tired.
You've eaten the same thing four times.
Well, another problem, you said big pot, but sometimes people just cook too much. And it's like, we're going to go out and make another meal the next day, but we have half of last night.
And then you
over.
Feel guilty.
Then you feel guilty, exactly. But you don't want to eat last night's leftover. You're tired of leftovers.
Yeah, and that is a problem. But here's the prescription for how to get past this. You need to wean yourself from recipes. And, Jeremy, I'd like you to talk about that.
No problem.
And really go by three things. One, learn the fundamentals, which means roasting, sautéing, and broiling. Got to learn all the differences in those. And two, learn the basics of flavoring with herbs and all that kind of stuff, salt and pepper and all that. Three, learn to measure by your eye or hand instead of being wedded to the, you know, the... Creativity comes, like in music and stuff, from just spontaneity. And
it's funny you
say
that.
Did I say that right? Spontaneity.
You added some syllables.
That word makes me mad, too.
Me and Jeremy were having this conversation.
Spaghetti-de-de-de.
Off the air, and it wasn't even about food.
Right.
I collect guitars, but I don't know how to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jeremy does. And he said, if you learn five chords, you can play 90%
right.
of the songs.
And you're not wedded to the sheet of music.
Right. So I like the story, Sylvia, and you wanted to ask me about it, too. Now,
well, let me
I
have
love
one more
ditching
thing. Taste. And you talk about taste, too. Do you taste as you're going?
Yes. You know, in fact, I'm not one of those angry chefs, but the one time you're going to see me lose it in the kitchen if I see my cooks and my chefs not tasting as they go.
Really?
Or if they don't taste before it goes out. I've had, you know, back where I came from, the School of Hard Knocks and culinary school and, you know, working in Five Diamond restaurants, I mean, you would be fired for that, especially because you lie about
you
it. Did you taste that, chef? Yeah, I did. No, you didn't. You're fired. Go.
Really?
You know, because they're watching you. So anyway, tasting is important. But I think that what you said, ditch the recipe, is the biggest thing. You know, you can go online now and like on YouTube, right, and see like workout tips or how to do a proper sit-up or push-up. You're much better off just looking at a 30-second clip on how to properly roast, sear, braise, and, you know, saute than you are reading through a recipe. And, you know, just get the basics down first, the technique, then you can do anything. You talked about spices. And,
yeah, and
you
using
know what?
Those things well.
First, learn to use salt and pepper.
Absolutely.
Because people do not know how to do that. That's the biggest, you know, it's a flavor enhancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, herbs and spices create nuances and stratify, you know, foods where you can find, you know, things that have highs and lows and balance the front and back of your tongue. But first of all, let's just get a good ingredient and treat it properly. By giving it the right technique and then properly seasoning it, salt and pepper.
You can create so much more flavor with heat and salt than you can create with 1,000 ingredients. If you sear meat properly with salt, you really don't need anything else.
If you come in the kitchen with me and you see me set up, the first thing I do when I walk in and I'm getting ready to do something is I put a cutting board down and grab salt, pepper, and butter. That's it.
Mm.
That's my start of the day. Salt, pepper, butter right in front of me in a cup.
I have coffee, but what the hell?
Yeah.
Right. Yes, that's right. Then
I
go
have
coffee and think about what I'm going to do with the salt, pepper, and butter, and you know, what should be on the cutting board. So.
Well, that's fascinating. So the whole idea, I think, is to let people be more to encourage creativity. And I know we're going to be talking about that in the next segment.
You're so right.
And how if you get into that kind of slow, not time-wise necessarily,
yes,
but understanding your ingredients and how they come together.
Understand the technique, understand the ingredients. You know, you can follow a recipe, mm-hmm. but even if you do, think about this. A lot of you out there do follow recipes, and that's a good guideline. But, you know, every tomato doesn't have the same moisture content. Mm-hmm. Every apple is not as ripe as it could have been when they wrote the recipe. Right. Every piece of meat may not be as lean or fatty. So a recipe is just a guide. So once you get done with it, it's your idea to taste it, and you put your adaptations, your interpretation on it, because it may not even taste the way they intended.
Well, here's what
I'll
say.
It's up to you to say, okay, I understand the thought. I understand the idea and the process behind mm-hmm. it. Now I'm going to make it mine.
Yeah.
If you learn methods, learning methods is much better than learning recipes. So yes. if you can make coq au vin, one of my favorite dishes.
What?
It's coq au vin. It's chicken stew with red wine, basically.
Okay.
They used to put rooster blood in it. That's another point. But you can make coq au vin. You can make beef bourguignon. You can make 1,000 other dishes, which are basically coq au vin with other meats.
Yeah, just swap chicken for beef and you pretty much
absolutely. No. You know, I mean, you can make 1,000 other dishes the exact same way. Just throw the recipe away. Learn the method and then experiment.
Learn the technique and everything else is easy. Everybody's like, oh, cooking's so hard. Stuff you do. I'm like, honestly, it's really not. Just work smart, not hard. Learn the proper techniques. You can do anything. Learn how to cook simple food right over and over again, and you can do anything.
You make scrambled eggs right, you can do anything.
That is true.
That's true.
I believe that. I firmly believe if you can make the proper scrambled egg, you can do almost anything in life.
That's true.
And that's a good topic of argument, too. We can go off on eggs and scrambled eggs. Yeah.
This may be later in the show. By the way,
I have an egg off.
Everything we just said in the last 6 minutes and 58 seconds does not apply to baking. Let me just say that. Baking is the exact opposite. You can't. That's why I don't bake. You can't experiment. You really do need to follow the recipe when it comes to baking. Because you add a little bit of acid, then your baking soda won't work, and vice versa.
Well, you live in Kentucky. Well, think about the humidity. You could be just completely sabotaged any given day based on the humidity levels here.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, your cookies. You're right. Like cookies will turn out differently.
Right. Oh, completely. The temperature of your butter will affect how your cookie looks.
Or did you rest your dough in the fridge for an hour? So, you know, if not, your cookies will be flat and crispy. If you let them sit and get cold, they'll be, taller and fluffier. Yeah.
That's another topic of conversation is the perfect chocolate chip cookie, because I do not like a cakey
perfect
cookie.
Perfect chocolate chip cookie.
Okay.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Heather McKeever-Haffey of Fairy House Hall, and she's part of the slow food movement, and they're doing a really cool fundraiser to help kids get involved with real food in Kentucky, hyper-local, and we'll come back in a second. This is Food News and Chews Radio.
With over 6 decades of experience supplying some of our favorite Kentucky restaurants, Seaworth Superstore is one of the most respected names in the industry. But don't take my word for it. Let our happy customers tell you themselves.
This is Doug Breeding. I'm co-owner of Henry Clay's Public House. There's no way you get a walk-in down in the basement. Alan Wilson from Seaworth says, I can help you. He took it apart. They brought it in piece by piece, put it back together, hooked it up. It works. We're using it. It was great.
Hello, this is Dave Spritzer, owner and operator of Campus Pub in the Waller Center. When we opened in 2004, Seaworth was one of our first calls, and 9 years later, we still count on them for their expertise and knowledge of the industry. They have great quality products, great showroom, and their follow-through can't be beat.
Hi, my name's Abe Lansdell, owner and chef of Winchell's Restaurant in Lexington, Kentucky. At Seaworth, they made the business dealing so comfortable that we felt like going any other direction wouldn't be worth our while. They just make it a real simple transition for whatever your needs may be.
Seaworth Superstore, 269-5964, or online anytime at seaworthsuperstore.com.
Food News and Chews here for Brasabana Restaurant, featuring Cuban cuisine with a Caribbean flair. Chef Miguel Rivas, hailing from the Dominican Republic, will provide you with an exceptional and unique cuisine. Come try plantain chips to start, followed by a Brasabana signature dish, the award-winning Cuban sandwich, yummy. And don't forget Brasabucks, $1 for every $10 you spend, and double Brasabucks on Mondays. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen or at Brasabana.com or Facebook for updates and information. Altec is a leading global biotechnology company headquartered just outside Lexington, Kentucky, focusing on natural nutrition solutions for animals and people. Altec works with farmers in Kentucky and around the world to improve the health of their livestock through nutrition. By improving the health of the animal, farmers can produce high-quality, nutritious food for consumers. Through enrichment of animal diets using Altec's organic minerals and DHA omega-3 fatty acids, farmers can create functional foods for humans.
Functional foods are foods that are more nutrient-dense and provide more nutrition in each bite of meat or sip of milk. When people eat functional foods, they're doing themselves a favor by promoting optimal health and helping reduce the risk of disease. Altec is proud to be a family-owned Kentucky company working on these natural nutrition solutions for animals and people. Altec, nourishing the world naturally. Visit www.altec.com for more information.
All right, welcome back to Food News and Chews Radio. We're going to talk a little slow food. Heather McKeever Chaffee. Did I just mess that up, Heather?
No, you did it perfect.
Heather McKeever Chaffee from the Fairytale House and fairytalehouse.com, which is a venue, a rentable venue in town.
I will tell you on that one.
What did I say? How did I say it?
Fairy House Hall.
Fairy House Hall. What do I call it? Fairy Tale House?
Named after the famed racetrack.
Fairy Tale House.
Well, it's named after a racetrack in Ireland.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Believe it or not, of course, the Irish have, they run their big race at the Fairy House.
And it's an up-and-coming very special spot, right? That nobody can know about yet.
Can you hear us slurping?
Air? Here's the thing about doing a food show is we don't eat on the air nearly enough.
Blackberries are to die for.
And we think whenever...
I always bring little snacks and sneak them in my pocket and hide them from you guys. Though.
It's great. So she brought us down. We were going to talk a little slow food, and we'll talk about the Fairy House Hall.
Yeah.
But slow food is something that you're into. You raise turkeys on your farm,
famous
on your land.
Turkeys, too.
But also grew basically everything that's in this pot of meatballs. You made, grew, or raised everything you made for us.
Tell
Explain
us
that to
it.
Us.
Tell us about that food. It's delicious.
The reason that you're getting meatballs is because I could not go on the radio without our sweaty balls. And these are Fairy House Hall sweaty balls.
And they're delicious.
And for those of you who are too young to know who Alec Baldwin is in Saturday Night Live.
That would be me?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mrs. Lovely is way too young to know who Alec Baldwin is.
Got it.
That was a hilarious skit.
Oh, yeah.
I have got to Google this.
I can't believe you haven't seen it.
Yeah. I mean, me and Tony brought some, too, but yours are much better.
Yours are much better. So, now explain to us, let's talk about, before we get into everything else, slow food, the slow food movement. Alice Waters is one of the forerunners of this, and you kind of have a relationship with her. Explain to us exactly what slow food is, and let's talk about the movement here in Kentucky.
Well, slow food was started in the 70s by Carlo Petrini in Italy, and Alice Waters was sort of doing the whole farm-to-table deal out in Berkeley at her restaurant called Chez Panisse in the 70s before anybody else ever heard of it. And all slow food is to go back to local raw ingredients.
The opposite of fast food.
Exactly.
Not processed, not something is...
Yeah, tell us how you did this dish.
Well, this particular dish, all it is the idea is that everything in that pot that you're eating, the sweaty balls, comes out of my garden, including the beef. We raise Angus and grass feed them, so they don't get any grain, which in nature, cows don't eat corn. We all know that. And so they ate grass, and the rest of the ingredients, it's very simple, are from the garden. There's a tomato sauce, which isn't really even a sauce because it was just canned tomatoes that were reduced down sitting on the stove while you're running around the house doing all kinds of other things. So the idea is that slow doesn't mean it takes you all day to cook. It just means that you start with ingredients rather than some sort of processed food.
So we're talking about cooking real food. Yeah, that's one thing I taste off the dish right away. You know, as a chef, you know, you say you're not a chef, but you're home cooking, everything came from your garden. It really just tastes like you're stepping off the back doorstep. You know, I know the difference between a good tomato sauce and, you know, one that's been has gone through too many processes or has paste added. This is like loose and a nice jus from fresh tomatoes, and you can feel, you can taste the sun, the brightness.
Yeah. One of the misconceptions to me about tomato sauce is you need to cook it for 6-7 hours.
Right.
I think you kill the tomato sometimes.
I think that's an important distinction. This didn't take you all day.
Oh, no,
of course, you're very good,
obviously. Yeah. Well, we're here in the afternoon, and I started it a couple hours before I showed up here.
So we can do this.
No,
yeah, it's possible.
The other thing is the ingredients that are in there.
anyone can grow. They're not labor-intensive ingredients. There's an onion in there. There's a Kentucky banana pepper in there.
Yep.
In the meatballs themselves. And then there's just some spices, oregano. But all the things that I have in there are kind of no-fail ingredients mm-hmm. that you can grow, other than the cattle.
They can, well, other than growing, which I'd like to see a tree that can grow those. And but everything else is patio food. I mean, patio plants. You can have
correct.
Have them in a bucket on your patio.
And yes. you have your turkeys, too, your bourbon red turkeys. Those are yours, right?
Yes, and not everybody can raise the turkeys. They're a big pain.
Are they really?
Oh, yes. My daughter said she'd never been so happy to have Thanksgiving dinner in her life.
Right.
The first time we raised them. No, they're not low maintenance, but growing the produce, even if you don't grow your own meat, growing your own produce is really simple.
Yeah.
I brought blackberries. And
they are so good.
Blackberries, literally, you can't kill them. They'll take over.
Mm-hmm.
So it is
fine
like,
by me.
Yeah, it is like asparagus, where it takes a couple years to get them going. But asparagus as well. We do asparagus, and it takes a couple years to get it going. But once these things get established in your backyard, and we're talking a backyard, not a farm, just because I live on a farm, this could be done.
Some of this stuff in your windowsill, you know, herbs and stuff.
Yes.
That's what we try to tell people.
Let me ask you, Jeremy, as a chef, when you have really good ingredients, or at least really fresh ingredients, you don't have to go to 6 years of culinary school to be able to make a decent dish, right?
Yeah, I think that's one thing that food has kind of taken a wrong turn in the past 40 years is, you know, we stopped, like she said, she calls it ingredients, as in real food. We're actually mm-hmm. cooking real food. And that doesn't take – I mean, good food does take time, but it's that starts with the seed down to the plate, not exactly just the cooking process itself. And you know, like about the Slow Food USA organization and all the things we're talking about here and normal food, real food, is that there's history behind it. Even like mm-hmm. in our area, there's a Kentucky chapter of Slow Food USA, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all about the local foods that we share, mm-hmm. the history of the foods, the heritage of the foods. And right now, I mean, based on our food system, we haven't had real food or access to real food for a long time. Even the ingredients that we do see in the produce section have been kind of, you know, what do you want to say? You know, crossbred, and, mm-hmm. and
they're
hybrid of what we ate maybe 100 years ago.
That's why a tomato off your porch tastes nothing like a tomato at the grocery store.
Yeah. Right.
A tomato at the grocery store tastes like nothing.
So when I eat something like this, like a real tomato sauce from a garden, I immediately can go, wow, okay, that's what a tomato
you
should taste like.
You can tell by tasting this.
Exactly.
You've got a big event coming up, though.
We do. We have a fundraising event to do slow food classes for high school students.
I love that.
We have been doing Chefs in School in Charleston, South Carolina, but last summer, we started doing farm-to-table classes for children out at the farm. We call it chef farming, where you combine going out to the garden, picking it, and then coming in and learning how to prepare it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we like to hit them when they're in high school because they're able to
get the habits formed.
Well, they're old enough. It's great at any age to educate children, but the high school kids can wield a knife. They can mm-hmm. they can actually do all the things an adult can do physically. And they're about to go out on their own.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's so much better a place for them to be. I mean, that awkward years, I feel like it's much better to be, like, cooking or, like, uh-huh. out in the open instead of in a classroom. It's just crazy.
Yeah, where you actually do things. So tell us about this.
Well, we are having a party on October the 28th, a slow food party where everything at the meal, including the alcohol, will be produced within 50 miles of the farm.
That's great.
So that's hyper-local.
We're actually just shooting for Fayette County to try to keep it super local as much as possible.
And it's about the Breeders' Cup. Breeders' Cup?
Yes. It's during the Breeders' Cup week on Wednesday before.
Ooh, lots of things.
The event,
I love it.
Yes. The event's open to the public. You can buy a ticket online at fairyhousehall.com. It'll pull you over to Eventbrite. But the point of these dinners, we usually have them once a year, is to expose people to different types of local food. So the idea is we served pawpaw at one of the events once, which is a crazy kind of wild fruit that we grow
Jeremy,
in Kentucky.
You probably know about that, huh?
Oh, I totally know about that. It's like the best treasure, like little-known treasure anymore on mm-hmm. the East Coast or in Appalachia. It's a mango-looking small fruit that has a mm-hmm. banana custard-like taste. That,
really?
If you haven't had one, you need to try it. I mean, it's native to the area, and pawpaw is something that's coming back into mainstream, thankfully, because it was pretty much non-existent for
a long time. And you make desserts out of it?
Well, huh? Yeah, breads, desserts, ice creams, jams, jellies, preserves. I mean, anything you want to do with something that would have like a mango banana texture.
Now, meats. Tell us about the meats, though. This is going to be neat at this event.
Well,
that's on October 28th.
The idea is to have as much variety of local meat as possible. So we're going to have the usual fare. There'll be a slow and there'll be low and slow, as they call
low
it.
Low and slow.
Yes, there'll be beef and pork, barbecue, but we're also going to have any kind of local meat that you've hunted, foraged for. There's going to be venison. And I know that a lot of people who don't hunt think that sounds crazy, but the way we're going to do the dishes is that it'll be lovely. You won't think about Bambi when you eat it.
Well, one of the things is, and speaking of hunting isn't really, it sounds counterintuitive, but the best way to keep a species alive is to hunt it.
Yeah.
I mean, they do that with a lot of, that's why buffalo made such a comeback, because if people didn't want to eat it, there'd be no reason for buffalo to exist.
And hunting is a very ethical thing, because people are very respectful of animals who have to actually hunt them, then they eat them.
And when deer get overpopulated, bad things happen.
And that's right. It's not absolutely right.
But, yeah, it's amazing in Fayette County, in the middle of Kentucky, people don't realize how many different varieties of fruit and meat are produced here. I mean, we have everything from fish farms to freshwater prawns to...
We have geese.
Turkeys, geese.
Yes. In northern Kentucky, she's raising caviar.
Yeah.
So the last party we had Kentucky caviar on top of our deviled eggs.
It's amazing now with aquaculture and all the things. You can basically do anything anywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why seasons don't necessarily exist anymore. You can have anything whenever you want. This is just a great movement. And you can go again to, I want to get it right, fairyhousehall.com. Get your tickets. All the information is up there as well, right?
Yes, and you go to the link.
This is right in the heart of Breeders' Cup, too. I mean, this is an event I would totally have to go. How many people are you selling tickets to?
We're limiting it to 100 to 150. We're just trying to decide. It depends on how much demand we have.
So, guys, look this up, because this is going to go pretty quick. I can already tell. I mean, bourbon and moonshine tasting and, field of fork and flask slow food celebration. Look at the way that sounds. I would be all about it with flask in
hand. Anything close to this stuff we've just been eating.
I was going to say, will you just make me gallons of this tomato sauce?
If you notice, I can just eat it like a soup.
That's what I've been doing, actually.
Yeah, soup.
I'll tell you, my strategy for this segment has been ask a question, sit back, and eat.
Right.
That's been the greatest. I don't know if you've noticed that or anything,
but
I'll
ask a question.
I know with the alcohol, it's obvious that we can get local bourbon. That's a given. But the idea is that, before mass production, all varieties of alcohol were produced here. So it's not just and moonshine gets sort of a bad name just because of Prohibition, but there used to be some very fine moonshine and some very fine moonshiners, including George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, both made pure grain.
Yeah.
So
and you're having that too.
Yes. And talk about slow food. I mean, really, it doesn't get much slower than making your own, having your own still. This is a great thing for a lot of reasons, but there's nothing sadder to me than a high schooler who only knows how to make microwave chicken nuggets. So being able to get a high school person out here and show them how what ingredients are and exactly what real food is, this is something we need to do, and it would probably cut down a lot on childhood obesity and diabetes and 1,000 different things that's wrong with our young people right
now. Sure, they would understand food better. That is so neat.
You wouldn't think so.
What a mission.
But even especially for a high school boy, learning how some basic knife skills, because they're always really, really keen to use the knives.
No, really hungry,
and,
too.
I just see how happy they are when they leave.
Nice.
And they're all trying to be so cool and everything, but you can't be cool when you have an apron on and you're cutting things up and throwing them in the pan. So they might start off kind of standoffish, but by the end, they're all laughing. They're very...
A neat thing here, I want to point out, too, that you're supporters of this event, too. Some really nice supporters.
Yes, Altec, Buffalo Trace.
Our beautiful Altec, our beautiful Edible. Norma Taylor is the editor there and covers this area beautifully, and Kentucky Proud.
Yes.
All our favorites.
We're very, very excited, and we're very excited for our food partners. They all sort of have the same mission statement, although I know Altec is all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
But Altec has a coffee that, although it's grown, the beans are grown in Haiti.
It's delicious, though.
They're roasting them here.
It's some of the best coffee.
We're going to make an Irish coffee drink with Altec's coffee called the Breeders' Cuppa. It'll be your after-dinner drink.
So sweet.
I don't know if you noticed, but me and Jeremy was letting you guys talk while we eat blackberries. We're eating your fresh blackberries.
They got in a fight over their blackberries. I mean, my job with these two is a big one.
Watch for bugs, because I literally pulled them off the vine.
I don't think we even noticed.
Who cares?
We're drunk on tomato sauce.
It's protein. Many cultures survive on eating insects. And it really, it's hyper-local.
I mean, you eat peanut butter, right?
Boom.
Hyper-local.
Hey, Heather, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, it's great.
You're welcome to stick with it. We got to take a break, but you're welcome to stick around, and we'll eat your sweaty balls, and we'll eat your blackberries, and hang out and do some radio.
It was great, and I hope to see everybody out to the farm at the end of October.
This is so neat, right in the heart of Breeders' Cup.
Give the website one more time where people can find you and how they can get tickets and how they can help, really.
Well, it's at fairyhousehall.com is the website, but it'll shoot you over to Eventbrite. But you can just go to Eventbrite and look for Breeders' Cup Party or Breeders' Cup Fete, F-E-T-E.
But check out fairyhousehall.com. That's your place, and that's where everything will take you.
Did y'all know that life is too important to be taken seriously?
I've been saying that for years.
That is the chef's motto. The chef is Irish, and he is a devotee of Oscar Wilde. So that is actually the farm. It's on the back of his whites.
I think it's perfect.
His Chef Whites has that written.
No one's getting out of this thing alive, right?
Right. You got it.
Nobody's made it out yet.
Back to sweaty balls and blackberries in a moment. This is Food News and Chews Radio.